the absolute global monster that is the HBO series Game of Thrones, demonstrates how much audiences adore the idea of battles and Machiavellian politics being played out when the weaponry was steel, wood, and witchcraft. In Australia, there's a flourishing subculture dedicated to recreating those times, as Michael McKenzie discovered when he travelled to the Adelaide Hills for first-hand experience of life in the Middle Ages.
I must admit, I wasn't looking for a medieval fair, and yet somehow it found me.
Excuse me, kind sir. I've just wandered into this. I've never been here before in my life, and I don't really understand what's going on. Tell me, does this happen every year?
Yes, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
My new friends are dressed in velvet and hessian. They have leather bags hanging from their belts.
Do you lead some kind of medieval life away from the fair?
We know a few people who do, but we don't ourselves.
We fall more on the nerd side of the spectrum than we do on the recreating reenactment side of it. We pretend to be wizards and elves and hit people with pretend swords and things like that, rather than pretend to be Vikings in historical reenactment.
Right.
So we fall on the other side of that.
There's a large ring of people around an enclosure in here, and there are sword fights going on, yes?
Yes, there's a number of sword fights. There's a number of different groups. So some are choreographed, some are actual touch and combat. Different groups, different weapons, different fighting styles. Yeah.
The town of Gumaraka might be home to less than 1,000 people, but this community in the Adelaide Hills already has a year-long draw card in the shape of the world's largest rocking horse. It's 38 years old, it weighs 25 tons, and is just over 18 metres tall. However, it's just too modern for the thousands of visitors who recreate medieval Europe on this one weekend in May.
This side of the river are stall holders and your more fantasy sort of things, and your information and your combat arena and food. Across the river is the Viking village. They set up on Thursday. They spend the entire weekend here. They have historical reenactment of a village life, of what it would be to be a Viking. They have blacksmiths. They do the Viking lifestyle for the weekend.
Oh. Well, I'll let you be on your way. Thank you so much for explaining it to me.
You're welcome. No problem. Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your fair.
You too.
As I head for the bridge that leads to the Viking side of life, I pass by the grassy swathe where knights and crusaders dressed in chainmail and shining armour are swinging long swords at each other in battles to the death. There's a vigorous mixture of peasants, witches and squires looking on and cheering. On the other side of the path, hessian dummies, stuffed with hay, are being beaten severely by young children using wooden swords. They all look incredibly happy. There's not a mobile phone in sight, although every now and then the modern world does intrude.
I remind the people we are on the lookout for a group of eight keys, and secondly, a mobile phone has been lost in around the costume area by the riverside.
Standing like a pillar amidst the flurry of costumes going past is a tall man with a long white beard.
You're clearly living a life as a wizard.
Well, I do. Yeah, that's my persona.
He's wearing a full-length grey gown and a conical hat with a floppy brim. In his hand, an imposing wooden staff topped with a stone of great power.
That's known as moonstone. If I have the sunlight shine on this at a certain angle, it'll actually send a beam.
This is Merlin incarnate.
So you've had this fascination with olden times.
We
way
do,
back.
Even at home. Yes, even at home.
Durston Grey used to be a Snowy River cattleman, but now Durston serves on the committee for the Gumaraka Medieval Fair.
We can show people how to survive. If there's no power, what are they going to do? Most of the kids nowadays would not know how to light a safe fire and to cook a meal on said fire.
Do you do that?
Oh, you do it well. You know, I've got the big cauldrons, I've got a camp oven there.
So you live that life pretty much day to day, do you? You must save a lot of money on power bills.
We try to keep it right down. Being aged pensioners, we don't get paid for running this.
Hello there. I've come over to see what kind of injuries you have to treat at a medieval fair.
Surprisingly, when you put on armour, it's actually quite safe to be hit over the head with lumps of iron, which you wouldn't think so, but armour, really good at keeping you safe. It's amazing. It's
we
amazing
should use it in modern life.
If only we could all walk around in suits of armour, which would be great, unless you wanted to go and have a bath or something.
That would of course, they didn't back in those days.
They didn't. Well, you want to be careful of not bringing about incorrect facts about medieval times.
Oh, really?
Because you might get injured by being beat over the head with knowledge, because I've been corrected multiple times today. Yes, I've been correctly informed that some of my statements were incorrect regarding Knights Templars, and I just nod quietly and say yes.
Okay.
There you go. So
who should I talk to who has the knowledge that can set me straight?
Look, if they've got a sword and they're wearing armour, they probably know what's going on.
All right.
That's good advice for anything in life, I've found.
You're a blacksmith by trade, I can tell.
I'm a blacksmith by passion, and I make axes and hardware and tools and whatnot for the club.
And how accurate are they to the relics we found archaeologically?
Most of the things you see on that table are based on a find from a place called Mustamir, which was a Viking craftsman's chest full of about 80 blacksmithing and woodworking tools found in a bog, almost intact. It's probably the best find of its kind. So you'll see the draw knife, the hacksaw, the drill, some of the axes, all based on that.
With the skills you have as a blacksmith here and being able to create something that is true to form, it must give you a special feeling.
Yeah, I suppose it does.
So as you're talking to me, you're actually pulling up and down on a rope which is attached to a cantilever, and that's doing a bellows. And what are you about to do now? Here we go.
Well, it's called upsetting. Basically, I'm trying to make one end of this metal bar thicker, because what I'm going to do is turn it into a spoon. So the next step will be flattening it, rounding it, and then I've got a block over there that's got a divot in it, and I'll shape that to turn into a spoon.
And how long will that take you?
It depends how many people ask me questions when I'm making it.
I get the hint. All the best. Thank you.
Finally, I come upon an encampment of one of the reenactment groups that travel the country looking for medieval fairs like this one. But their armour and their demeanour are not like the English crusaders I've seen already.
So we're part of the new Varangian Guard. So the original Varangian Guard were the Emperor's bodyguard for quite a long time. They are originally employed by the Prince of Kiev.
So Eastern European medieval.
Yes. The word Varangian comes, it's effectively outsider. It's slang for outsider. The Varangians originally came from the Nordic countries and went over as mercenaries, worked for the Prince of Kiev. When the Prince of Kiev couldn't pay them, effectively sold off his daughter to marry into the imperial family and gave the Varangians with them.
You are living history here.
That's right. That whole encampment is about living history. So,
a lot of men. Any women?
Yes. This is Battle Cat over here behind.
Battle Cat.
Yes.
Hello, Battle Cat. Are there any other women with you?
Not here this weekend, so we've come up from Melbourne. We have 4 female combatants at the moment, but I was the only one able to get the leave to come up here.
Do you have a choreographed battle routine, or anything can happen?
Anything can happen. We fight to touch, and that's pretty much our only rule.
And how do you know who's won?
The person not dead.
That would make sense. But if you're touching, how do you know when a touch is a deadly touch?
Well, sorry, any touch on the torso will kill you.
Oh, I see.
A touch to the head, we treat as a stagger here. Where I come from, we teach that as it kills you, because if I can hit you on the head, I can also stab you in the face.
That makes sense. You're a young person. How did you on earth get involved in this?
Oh, so that's an interesting story. I was at O Week of University, and one of the clubs on campus did this, and they went, "Here's a sword, do you want to hit me?" And I went, "Yes." And so that's actually how I got into this. I had no idea that this hobby existed until a week of university. I've now been doing it for 11 years.
Wow.
In the combat arena now is the new Varangian Guard.
I think you're being called to battle.
We are indeed being called to battle.
I wish you every success on the battlefield.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for talking to us. Bye-bye now.